Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
Welcome to the Outreach Program, sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the general class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m., which is 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday, and at 7 p.m. each Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS server at either EchoLink node number 96140 or IRLP node 96144 or ALLSTAR node AST 27404. For those who are interested, please contact myself, Mike, at Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at voip@voipnet.southcars.com to enroll in the class and to be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be connected into the course, letting it drop. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS, South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. It should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email at the same address, voip@voipnet.southcars.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website. Now here's the address for the posting of this recording. It's www.voip.southcars.com. oneword.com. Please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during the classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one found posted in our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during the sessions. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? I didn't hear anybody, so I believe I'm throwing this over to K6SUN. Is that correct? K6SUN, I believe, will start this evening. If not, we'll know shortly. Take it away. Take it away, Kathy. Over.
Well, Mike, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Name is Kathy, but Paul will begin tonight, so I'm going to throw it over his direction. WQ1I, and why don't you take the first question?
Well, thank you, Kathy and Mike. This is WQ1I. The name is Paul, and the QTH is indeed Danbury, Connecticut, where we've currently got 76 degrees, heavy rains, thunder and lightning, the flash flood warnings going off on the phone. The weather can only be described right now as biblical. So with that, we'll head out to the class here and start the questions. And I do have the first question tonight, and it is number Golf 2 Alpha 1. And the question reads, which sideband is most commonly used for voice communication on frequencies of 14 megahertz or higher? A, upper sideband. B, lower sideband. C, vestigial sideband. And D, double sideband. Now let me drop it for a second here. And the correct answer is A. The upper sideband is most commonly used for voice communications on frequencies of 14 megahertz or higher. The generally accepted band plan dictates this to be so. It is not illegal to use the opposite sideband, but in doing so, you may very well create unwanted interference. Someone listening for your signal might also not be able to hear you terribly well because they've got their radio set for upper sideband use, as most everybody else does. So you might be coming in a little bit garbled, and they have a hard time figuring out what the problem is. So 14 megahertz or higher, upper sideband. Okay, higher, upper. If there aren't any questions or any further comments about this, we'll throw it back to Mike. WQ1I.
That's very true. With the upper and lower, can do interference. I know on PSK31 Digital, I don't know if I mentioned, but last week I was on the upper where I belonged, and a friend of mine was on the lower, and we were both wondering why we couldn't contact one another until he checked his setting. So it's very easy to mess up with the upper and lower. So always look for that little symbol on your HF radio. It'll help quite a bit. Anybody have any comments? Okay, without further ado, now we'll go back to the sweet lady. We'll go back to K6SUN. Kathy, I think you got the next question. You're up. Over.
Well, good evening, Mike, and good evening to everyone listening and actually coming to you from Port St. Lucie, where it's currently 84 degrees, and we had a high of about 89, and we had those thunder bumpers all day, too, but we're doing okay right now. My question, the second question, is Golf 2 Alpha 02. And it reads, which of the following modes is most commonly used for voice communications on the 160 meter, the 75 meter, and the 40 meter bands? And the choices are upper sideband, lower sideband, vestigial sideband, and double sideband. And your correct answer this time is going to be lower sideband. As in the last question, it's not illegal to change sidebands, but it does not conform to the current band plan. So with that, let's see if we have any questions out there, and then Paul, you should be able to take the next question.
Okay, let me just make sure I've got it here. The thunder boomers down in your area, we've had some hellacious rains here this afternoon where at my workplace. Somebody came running into my office saying I might want to move my car because the flooded parking lot was creeping up toward the car, and sure enough, I got there just in time. Otherwise, I would have been swimming to get to the car and get out of there. So, and the rains continue here. It's been a very rainy summer, actually. The whole summer has been this way. But enough of my complaining. I'm about to read number three for tonight, and the question number from the pool is Golf 2 Alpha 6, and it reads as follows. Which of the following is an advantage when using single sideband as compared to other analog voice modes on the HF amateur bands? A. Very high fidelity voice modulation. B. Less bandwidth used and greater power efficiency. C. Ease of tuning on receive and immunity to impulse noise. Or D, less subject to interference from atmospheric static crashes. And the answer is B, less bandwidth used and greater power efficiency. Less bandwidth used means you're taking up less spectrum space and more people can use the band. AM signals occupy 6 kilohertz, whereas a single sideband only uses 3 kilohertz. So you can fit two signals in the same amount of spectrum space, as it were, when you're comparing AM modulations versus single sideband mode. So those are the very good reasons for using sideband, and they sound kind of funky too, which I like a lot. If there are any questions, let me know. And if not, I guess Kathy will just pick it right up. WQ1I, Danbury, Connecticut.
All right. It doesn't look like there's any questions or comments. And, Paul, we could really use some of that rain, not the floods, but we could use the rain. Our canal, I think, is down about 2 or 3 feet. We have the thunder bumpers, but not very much rain. But not the floods, but we could use some of the rain. My question is number 4, Gulf 2 Bravo 02, and it reads, what is the first thing you should do if you are communicating with another amateur station and hear a station in distress break in? I really like this question. Our choices are A, continue your communication because you were on the frequency first. Acknowledge the station in distress and determine what assistance may be needed. Change to a different frequency or immediately cease all transmissions. Your correct answer is Bravo, and that is acknowledge the station in distress and determine what assistance may be needed. You know, just use common sense, listen, help where you can, and be a professional in your actions. And by the way, everyone, I just wanted to let you know we have not heard about the status of Bill, VE3MEW, but do keep him in your thoughts and your prayers as we continue. So with that, any questions, any comments? If none, Paul, you can pick up the next question.
This is KD0CDQ to add a little bit of color. On this slippery ball that we live, it seems that y'all further east than we are get the weather the following day. Yesterday we had a tornado about 20 miles from here, touched down, and one of the storm spotters actually saw the tornado, was rain-wrapped. I was called out too, and I'm trying to get to my spotter location about 10 miles west of here, and the roads were blocked because of flooding. So instead of going 10, I went quite a bit further to get to my spotter location. But I did not see a tornado, but everybody at work today was abuzz because everyone had to go to the shelters. The alarms, the sirens went off. Everybody saw the big gray finger, I would call it, coming down from heaven. And a big gray finger was not a tornado. It was just a cloud formation, what they call scud, a scary-looking cloud. But everybody was sure they saw that tornado. But it was very interesting. That was an interesting finger hanging down from the sky. Okay, back to you, Paul. KD0CDQ.
Yeah, okay, Mike. Yeah, you can keep your tornadoes. We get them around here occasionally, but it's rare. And it's quite scary stuff, that's for sure. I've never seen one. I've seen the aftermath of one right here in Connecticut, and it's like, holy moly. Literally cuts a path. But yes, what you said about the travel of the weather, I used to love that about HF radio. I'd be on talking to someone on 40 out in Ohio, and they'd be telling me about they got snow and they've got this and that, and sure enough, if I don't get the same weather the next day, so it's pretty much predictable, a lot better than the weatherman does in predicting weather, okay? But enough of that, and we're on to the next question here. I enjoyed Kathy's question, too. I love the ones that have the funny answers. Emergency, an emergency call. Oh, you were there first. Just keep talking. I love those answers. Number 5, Golf 2 Bravo 3. If propagation changes during your contact and you notice increasing interference from other activity on the same frequency, what should you do? A, tell the interfering stations to change frequency. B, report the interference to your local amateur auxiliary coordinator. C, as a common courtesy, move your contact to another frequency. Or D, increase power to overcome the interference. That's another one of those funny answers. And the answer is C, as a common courtesy, move your contact to another frequency. This is another situation, folks, of just plain good sense and common courtesy. You don't tell someone else to move. Good luck reporting this to an amateur auxiliary coordinator. You do the courteous thing and just move your contact to another frequency if the band is changing and you're hearing other stations coming in. All right, Mike, let's throw it back to you to see if you have a comment, and then Kathy can pick it up. WQ1I.
Very true about moving to another frequency. Last night a fellow was reporting an automobile accident, and he did it on the on our, well, what are you going to call it? I forget the exact name. When you have a net that's doing storm spotters are deployed across the county, when we're deployed, we actually ask everyone to stay off that frequency. And he came in and reported an automobile accident. That was fine, but he kind of got in the way. We're waiting for him to explain it all. So you're right. Please, just go somewhere else with your comments or try 911. They could help an awful lot better than we can. KD0CDQ. Okay, Kathy, go ahead. Take it away.
All right. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November along with Paul WQ1I. We're doing the South Coast Outreach General Course this evening. We're halfway through our questions this evening. Mine is number 6, Golf 2 Bravo 05. And actually, we're going to go on the serious side now. The last two questions were funny ones, but I enjoyed both of those. What is the customary minimum frequency separation between single sideband signals under normal conditions? A is between 150 and 500 hertz. Bravo is approximately 3 kilohertz. C is approximately 6 kilohertz, and approximately 10 kilohertz is delta. The correct answer is Bravo, approximately 3 kilohertz. Remember that single sideband signal occupies approximately 3 kilohertz in bandwidth. So with that, any questions, any comments from anyone listening? If not, Paul, you can pick up the next question.
Okay, Kathy, thank you very much. And question number 7, this is an interesting question too. It's number Golf 2 Charlie 1. Which of the following describes full break-in telegraphy, or QSK? A, breaking stations send the Morse code prosign BK. B, automatic keyers are used to send Morse code instead of hand keys. C, an operator must activate a manual send and receive switch before and after every transmission. Or D, transmitting stations can receive between code characters and elements. And the answer is D, transmitting stations can receive between code characters and elements. Let me drop it. This ability to hear between characters and elements allows the other station to request permission to transmit, and this is normally done with the other station sending BK for the break identifier. So what we're talking about here, folks, is something that's really very cool. If you're a CW Morse code operator, and is as you're transmitting, in between the characters that you're sending, you can actually receive. So if you're sending a long, bloviating paragraph to somebody, and he wants to say, hey, wait a minute, what was that you just said? Or, I gotta go, guy, you're talking too much. You can actually hear them trying to contact you back while you're in the middle of transmitting versus some of the old-fashioned rigs, I imagine. I guess you literally are on transmit, and that's it. You don't hear a darn thing until after you're done. So it's a very cool phenomenon. It's called QSK, and it is question G2C01. Which of the following describes full break-in telegraphy, QSK? Transmitting stations can receive between code characters and elements, and it's a lot of fun. WQ1I, Danbury, Connecticut. Any questions? Otherwise, Kathy, pick it up, please.
All right. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my question is number 8. It is Golf 2 Charlie 05. And it reads, what is the best speed to use when answering a CQ in Morse code? Alpha, the fastest speed at which you are comfortable copying. Bravo states the speed at which the CQ was sent. Charlie, a slow speed until contact is established. And Delta, at the standard calling speed of 5 words per minute. The correct answer is Bravo, the speed at which the CQ was sent. So what is the best speed to use when answering a CQ in Morse code? It's the best speed at which the CQ was sent. Common courtesy is used to answer the original station at the code speed he or she started with. With that, do we have any questions or comments? And if not, Paul, I guess you can head on in to question number 9.
Okay, Kathy. Well, I'll get a little bit of a comment, speaking of bloviating, on that last question. I've had lots of experiences on CW where, you know, I'm let's say, doing 15 words a minute, and that's about as fast as I really want to go. And I'm calling CQ, looking for someone to talk to. And someone answers me, and they're flying along at 25 words a minute. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. You know, if I wanted to be, if I was able to copy faster, I'd be sending faster. So, and I've had it happen in the reverse, believe it or not, too. I've had stations where they're calling CQ, and they're sending at a slow speed, and then as soon as I contact them, they zip it up, which I just never, for the life of me, could understand. But that's the funny things happen on radio. It's all part of the fun, I guess. So let me just drop this, and I'll read the next question. Okay, we're at question number 9 already. Time is flying. We're having so much fun here. And it's question Golf 2 Delta 1. And it reads, what is the amateur auxiliary to the FCC? And your choices are A, amateur volunteers who formerly enlist to monitor the airwaves for rule violations. B, amateur volunteers who conduct amateur licensing examinations. C, amateur volunteers who conduct frequency coordination for amateur VHF repeaters. And D, amateur volunteers who use their station equipment to help civil defense organizations in time of emergency. And the answer is A. The amateur auxiliary are amateur volunteers who are formally enlisted to monitor the airwaves for rules violations. And it's really an interesting question because all of the other answers are true. They're not the right answers for this particular question. But we have amateur volunteers in all the other practices, jobs that are answered in the other answers. But amateur auxiliary are those volunteers who are formally enlisted to monitor the airwaves for rules violations. Questions, comments? If not, take it away, Miss Sunshine.
All right, and going back to the questions we were having about CW, you know, I actually had hoped to get back to practicing that in the past few years, but I guess my summers have been too busy. I haven't been able to do that. But I enjoyed those questions about CW. Actually, I probably couldn't even answer or understand anything at 5 words per minute. So my question is number 10, and it's Golf 2 Delta 02. It reads, which of the following are objectives of the amateur auxiliary? A is to conduct efficient and orderly amateur licensing examinations. Bravo is to encourage self-regulation and compliance with the rules by radio amateur operators. Charlie is to coordinate repeaters for efficient and orderly spectrum usage. And Delta is to provide emergency and public safety communications. The correct answer is Bravo. Reads to encourage self-regulation and compliance with the rules by radio amateur operators. You know, this answer just merely speaks for itself. Self-regulation and compliance on all our parts keeps things running smoothly and orderly. Any questions, any comments before we move on into question 11?
This is KD0CDQ. If I can tie two together. On the one, knowing your auxiliary ARRL monitor in the area, we have two in our section. And I'd advise everybody to get to know who they are. So in case you do something improper, they're more courteous when they respond to you rather than just sending you a postcard or some other means of communication, which can be embarrassing. So get to know who your auxiliary is or are. And then the other part with the CW, you know, here's something new. Kathy, you may want to look into this. Just check the Internet when you get a moment. There's a program called CW Skimmer. CW Skimmer. It makes it possible for one to monitor CW and respond to CW with your keyboard of your computer. I'm looking into that myself because I'm not good at CW, guys. But this is something our club is looking into to get more people interested in CW, because a lot of us try, but we're not too good. So hopefully this will energize us. It's called CW Skimmer. It requires, give you 30 days, and after that you got to pay a fee. Something you can look at. Something you can look at to see what's going on in the electronic world. That's all I've got, KD0CDQ. Take it away, guys.
Okay, let me just make sure I've got it here. All right, and yeah, Mike, Kathy, it's CW is a lot of fun. My only piece of advice is forget about dits and dashes. Don't ever remember a letter as a dit, dash, dit. Remember it as a sound. And I think some of those programs are what they do that very well. What you want to remember is what the sound sounds like. You don't want to be translating it from dots and dashes in your head. It'll just slow you down. So, with that, number 11, this is my last question of the night. Kathy, I think we're going to break a record here tonight. Golf 2 Echo 4, and it reads, what segment of the 20-meter band is most often used for digital transmissions? A, 14,000 to 14,05 megahertz. B, 14,070 to 14.1 megahertz. C, 14.150 to 14.225 megahertz. Or D, 14.275 to 14.350 megahertz. And the answer is B. I guess there really wasn't much point in reading all the answers. The answer is B, 14.07 to 14.1 megahertz. This follows the accepted band plan, which we talked about in the last class, and keeps cross-mode operation from causing interference. Kathy, over to you, unless, Mike, you've got something. WQ1I.
All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And before I go into the last question, like Paul was saying during our last session, remember, you do not want to memorize the A, B, C, or D when it comes to the test. It may be the same answers, but they may switch them around. But I also recommend looking at something with the question and something in the answer. It may just be a memorization for you. And when you get on the radio and can talk and learn it more, you can learn that information. But let's go into the question 12, which is our last question for this evening, and it's Golf 2 Echo 07, and it reads, what segment of the 80-meter band is most commonly used for digital transmissions? And our choices are Alpha 3570 to 3600 kilohertz, Bravo is 3500 to 3525 kilohertz, C 3700 to 3750 kilohertz, and D is 3775 to 3825 kilohertz. And your correct answer is Alpha. Again, the question read, what segment of the 80-meter band is most commonly used for digital transmissions? Correct answer is A, 3570 to 3600 kilohertz. And this, again, just shows compliance to the accepted band plan. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and anyone listening, this is all of our questions for this evening, but we'd sure like to hear from you if you have any comments or any questions before we close for this evening. And Mike, remember, give us a few moments when you conclude so that we can stop the recordings. So anybody out there have any questions or any comments before I turn it over to Mike?
Six, Victor, Kathy.
Well, good evening, Six Victor, and thanks for coming aboard, and thanks for helping out during our little session here this evening. So what do you have for any comments or questions this evening?
Well, Kathy, just a couple of real quickies. I don't think it's been mentioned yet in this year's course, but in case you haven't noticed, guys and gals, when you go through the question pool and you come up against a question number before it reads the question, such as the last one that Kathy I gave here was G2 Echo 07. Right to the right of that question number is a letter in parentheses. And in her question, it says A, and that denotes the correct answer in the multiple choice questions below. So I'm sure a lot of you have picked it up, but you can actually get the right answer right from the question pool and then work yourself around that. The other thing I was going to mention on code, you know, Mike, I've mentioned to you, my father was a crackerjack CW operator. You know, he could steam and beam at about 80 words per minute. But he used to get absolutely, totally frustrated when somebody would come up with a program like you said. They were running CW on their computer. They couldn't read code, so they had to use the computer to decipher what was being sent. And my father had a Navy swing. He ran a high-speed Vibroplex speed key. And, you know, the banana boat swing, if you will. Well, these canned programs have to have perfect CW, and if you got any swing in there, they can't copy you, Mike. Over to you, sir, and again, repeating what Kathy said, give us a moment or two to close all of the doors here on our recordings. KY6V, Mike?
This is KD0CDQ. Thank you, Gordon, for those hints. You know, I don't know if you're aware, but at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, which is the Morse code capital of the Army Signal Corps, as of last month or July 1st, the Army is no longer taking in Navy or Air Force students to teach Morse code. It's strictly an Army setup now. It's pretty sad to see that the military is moving to the digital, and I'm afraid that's what the military is doing. We don't have any control over that, but it was interesting to see the movement. It came out from MARS, you know, the Military Amateur Radio Service Group, that it's changing. It's changing. So strictly Army personnel will be going to Fort Huachuca to become really the experts like your dad was when he was in there. Well, that's the changing times. What can we do? Changing times. All right, this was a good session tonight. It went fast and it was interesting. It was fun. We had a little fun in our hearts, and that's the way to do this. We don't want to get too serious. We want to make this enjoyable. I'm going to let it drop, and I'll tell you about next week. Okay. Now, Paul and Kathy did an excellent job figuring that Kathy jumped in there. You know, she wasn't scheduled to be up this week doing this instructing. So I give her kudos for jumping in there and doing so well on this. Now next Sunday and Tuesday, we'll have two other instructors, W4RFJ Roger. I believe he's in Pennsylvania, but we'll find out. And also KC2RM0 Gary. I don't know where he's going to be hiding out, so we'll have to see. It'll be a mystery. So two different instructors next week, but we'll all still be here. They're all still listening in. So, again, if you have any questions when you're doing your studies, send us that email. Remember, doip@southcars.com, something like that. But you'll find us. Send us those questions, and we'll look into it for you, help you through it. I'm looking here at my notes. Yes, it's www.doip.southcars.com. That's where our website is, and that's where the recordings will be. And if you have any questions, hey, get in touch with us. We really mean that. We really would like to have contact with you. Okay, that's all I've got for tonight. Now, as we did last evening, let's all give everyone a chance to drop the recordings. Gordon has got a number of recording machines going. So let's do at least a minute of silence or two, and Gordon gives us the okay to come back on the air. This is KD0CDQ going silent.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another in-hour series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.